Amen. Look back at verse number 19 again. The Bible reads, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." And we have a portion of scripture here where the Apostle Paul is basically explaining how when you go out into the world, you're going to be exposed to different cultural norms. You're going to be exposed to different societal behaviors where people act a different way, people dress a different way, people have different ideologies or different, you know, philosophies about how to interact. And that's true today. We see there's no difference today. Different nations, different cultures, different people act and react in different ways. And to the Apostle Paul, culture is not something that really should get in the way of sharing the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't care what culture he comes into. In fact, he adopts the culture in which he's in so as to try and get as many people saved as possible. You know, he transcends culture. However, there is a caveat, and this caveat's a really important caveat to understanding what he's saying here. But look what he says in verse number 21. "Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." So the Apostle Paul is basically saying, when I go and I'm around Jews, I just try to fit in. I basically just try to go along with whatever their Jewish customs are, however they're dressing, or whatever's going on to the best of my ability. I'm trying to live peaceably with all men. However, there are certain thresholds that I would not cross. If there's something that's actually sinful, well, I'm not going to participate in a cultural behavior or a cultural attitude or something that would go beyond the commandments of God. I'm still going to keep myself subjected to the Word of God and to these principles. And really, this should be the same philosophy that every Christian employs, that no matter where we're at, no matter where we find ourselves, that whatever cultures exist, there's nothing wrong with embracing culture, but there is something wrong with embracing sinful culture. There is something wrong with embracing a culture that is in violation of God's commandments or of God's word. And you know what? I don't care about culture. Frankly, to me, culture's fine. And you know, a lot of people celebrate culture. You know, they celebrate the heritage of people that like different types of food or different types of way to dress or their history. And I think those things are interesting. I have no problem embracing them. You know, there's an entire theme park that's literally dedicated to this. It's called Epcot. Who knows what I'm talking about? Epcot. It's like part of the Walt Disney World collection of theme parks. Well, one of them, specifically, the entire back area of this theme park is literally just different countries, okay? And basically, they just like over-exaggerate the stereotypes of these countries to the point where they're doing the most stereotypical foods and clothing and their music, and just basically it's just try to appreciate the culture. And you know what? I liked Epcot to some degree. It wasn't like a fun place as far as roller coasters, but it was just interesting. They have good food and everything like that. It's kind of fun. But at the end of the day, you know, if a culture starts shifting into something that's sinful or something that's wrong, we as Christians should reject it. And not only should we reject it, we should even preach against it, because, you know, it's wrong to allow sin to be upon your neighbor, to not rebuke your neighbor and your suffering sin to be upon him. Now, I'm going to give you a definition of culture according to online, as far as just Wikipedia is concerned. It says, "Culture is an umbrella term which encompasses the social behavior and norms found in human societies, as well as the knowledge, beliefs, arts, laws, customs, capabilities, and habits of the individuals in these groups." Now, again, it's just saying culture is just what people do, okay? What do the people do? How do they dress? How do they look? What do they say? The music that they listen to, their law, their art, all these different things. And, you know, as a Christian, we're supposed to live peaceably with all men. We're supposed to try to be, getting along with people, But sometimes these cultures cross a certain threshold. And, you know, I see a group of people that are being attacked today, people that are being victimized, and they're trying to use culture as a way to hold people down, as to attack people, and basically drag them into sin. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me what culture it is. It doesn't matter to me what the demographics of those people are. You know, I love people, and I want people to be saved. I want people to be godly. And so it shouldn't matter what the demographics of these people are. It shouldn't matter who's being attacked. It just matters they're being attacked, and it matters that their culture that's being forced down their throat by the media and online is a very sinful culture. And so the title of my sermon this morning is this: American Black Culture. American Black Culture. Now, some people say, oh, you hate black people. No, I don't hate black people. I love black people. In fact, you know, we go out and preach the gospel, and I guarantee that we disproportionately preach to more black people than to white people as far as the demographics are concerned in America. Why? Because we target lower income areas, and we target areas that are going to be receptive to the gospel. And you know what? Areas that are more predominantly black are usually even more receptive to the gospel than a lot of other areas. You know, and if you go to Houston, which, you know, Pure Words Baptist Church is a church that I founded in 2018, but Houston is a very racially segregated city. I mean, it's extreme. You'll go to certain areas, neighborhoods, apartment complexes, and it's only one demographic. And so you'll get exposed to a large clumping of these demographics. And when you go to areas that are predominantly black, they're typically more receptive to the gospel. You know, and I love going to those areas. I love preaching to these people. You know, and when it comes to starting a church, when I planted the church, Pure Words Baptist Church, I tried to be in the most racially diverse area possible. You know, I tried to find the area that had the most diversity as far as white, black, Hispanic, all of it. You know, and I planted that church there because I don't care about culture. I don't care about skin color. I don't care about any of those things. You know, a soul is a soul to me. And we're supposed to love people and care for people. But what I see today in America is I see this idea of this American black culture, okay? And it's being crammed down the throats of a lot of young black people today, and they're lying to them, and they're attacking them, and they're assaulting them with lies today. And they're attacking them with sin. And I'm going to preach about this topic, and you say, well, you shouldn't be able to preach against it. You're white. Well, you know what? I can preach against sin all day long, and I'm going to preach what the Bible has to say about this. But people that are, you know, thinking that culture has to do with skin color are brainwashed today. Because culture is not about skin color, okay? It's really these race baiters and these race hustlers that are trying to force people to feel like they have to accept a particular culture because they were born with a particular skin color or demographic or whatever. It's lies. It's not reality. It's not something that we should, you know, accept. And really, it's kind of mostly predominant in America. You know, you run into black people that live in the United Kingdom or in the Caribbean or in Africa or other parts of the world. They're not going to be like what the American black culture is trying to tell you like you're supposed to be. They're not going to have the same viewpoints and the same social behaviors. It's really America that's trying to push a lot of this sinful behavior. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. Just go flip to the right a little bit. And let me tell you what, liberals, the media, the government, and true racists are continuing to oppress and take advantage of people solely based on their skin color, and it's wrong. And we should preach against this, and we should love every single person. We should love people that are black, and we should try to preach them the gospel, and we should try to warn them about sin and the evils of this world just as much as any other person. And people get mad at me, and they'll say, oh, well, why aren't you preaching about the horrors of white culture? Well, first, I don't even know what white culture is, okay? But even if there was such a thing, hey, I'll preach against it. Oh, why don't you warn about the horrors of Native American culture? Well, I will, you know? Or Asian culture. It doesn't matter to me, the culture. Hey, if there's something sinful, we need to preach against it, and we should not be afraid to preach against sin today. But we see that there's so many people, they're so afraid to say anything about this topic so as to be canceled or to be railed on or to be attacked or to lose their business or whatever the situation is. But you know what? I'm not afraid of that, and I'm going to preach the truth. Now, the Bible tells us that we shouldn't have, you know, these white cultures and black cultures and red cultures and yellow cultures. You know what we should have? Christian culture. Christian culture. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. But be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Like, I would rather be in a church with 100% black people that are saved than 100% white people that are unsaved. I don't care about skin color. I don't care about these things. They're inconsequential. You know, the culture that we're supposed to have is fellowship with believers. And notice it says, what fellowship hath righteousness with another? Hey, what fellowship do I have with another white person who's not saved? The Bible says none. But you know what? That same rule should apply to every single person. I don't care if you're Hispanic. What fellowship does a Hispanic have with another Hispanic that's not saved? Should be none. Zero. Well, okay, so then what about black people? The same concept. You know, don't fall for all the lies today to think, oh, this guy's my brother because we have the same skin color. You know, there's plenty of white people that I don't want to have any fellowship with, okay? Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden. I don't claim these people. They're not my brother. You know, I don't want anything to do with these people or their culture. Verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know what I tell to black Christians today? Come out from among them today. Come out from among the idea of this American black culture that's being fed by the media and by CNN and by the government today. Now, let me make a few things real clear, and I'm going to try and be very clear in what I'm saying. When I'm talking about American black culture, okay, not everything that would be associated with black people or American black culture or African American culture is sinful, okay? And there's nothing wrong with appreciating it, embracing it, or participating in it, okay? There's nothing wrong with any culture as long as it's not in violation of a commandment. You know, if you want to wear a sombrero to church, wear a sombrero. You know, if you want to wear some kind of an African garb, you can wear an African garb by coming to church. You know, it doesn't matter to me, you know, the culture. And there's certain cultural aspects that are fine. There's no problem with, okay? But what I'm going to be preaching on is the things that cross the threshold of God's commandments, okay? The things that are clearly, you know, sinful. It's not about whether or not it's black or white or any of these type of things. And in fact, I looked up a CNN article, and they were trying to define what American black culture is. And they were saying there's plenty of people that embrace this culture that aren't even black. You know, there's plenty of Hispanic and white people, like Eminem, who are embracing this idea of black culture today that has nothing to do with them even being black. Okay. Now, I looked up in Wikipedia. There's an article entitled African American Culture. And so that's where I'm kind of getting, you know, my basis for a lot of these topics that I want to cover. But let's cover this topic. How about the heroes of American black culture, okay? How about Martin Luther King Jr.? Now, Martin Luther King Jr. is real famous. He's really lifted up in this community, so-called, or whatever you want to embrace it as. But let's identify one of his comments, okay? This is probably the most famous quote of Martin Luther King. He says this, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Now, full disclosure, I don't like Dr. King, but I agree with this statement. And you know what? I think this statement's a great statement. And if, you know, there was a culture where people were trying to lift up this statement and idolize that vision, I say praise the Lord. You know, I don't want people to be characterized by the color of their skin. I think content is a great way to judge people. And notice he's not even saying that he doesn't want them to not be judged. He's not saying an absence of judgment. He's just saying, let's judge based on their character, not on who they were born or their parents or any of these things, because those don't really matter. You can't affect them. Well, if we're going to do that, then let's start with Dr. King. Let's not judge him based on his skin color. Let's judge him based on his content of his character. You know, Dr. King denied the virgin birth. Oh, what a Baptist minister. He denied the resurrection that we're supposed to be celebrating on Easter. Yet, I guarantee there's going to be black churches on Easter giving all kinds of lip service and praising Dr. King, someone who didn't even believe in the resurrection. Why? Because of his skin color. Not because of the content of his character. I mean, what could be the worst person to celebrate and honor on Easter than someone that literally denied the resurrection? Dr. King, okay? Here's another quote from Dr. King. The fundamentalist is quite aware of the fact that scholars regard the Garden of Eden, the serpent Satan, and the hell of fire as myths analogous to those found in other Oriental religions. He knows also that his beliefs are the center of ridicule by many. Dr. King said the hell of fire is something to be ridiculed. That the devil existing is to be ridiculed. The Garden of Eden, hey, all the stories of the Bible that we believe and love and us going out and preaching and warning about people from going to hell, they're supposed to be ridiculed and mocked, and we should be not even taken seriously at all. Basically, just all the myths of Asian culture should be viewed as the same as the Bible. That's what Dr. King said. Why would any Christian support this guy? I don't care what skin color. I don't care if he has your last name. I don't care if your last name's King. You shouldn't support this guy. It doesn't make any sense to lift up this person. But again, we have people lifting him up in the media and the government, not because they're judging him based on his character, but rather because of the color of his skin. Also, he was a serial adulterer. An admitted serial adulterer to his wife, okay? Now, there's a lot of allegations about him that are even far worse. I'm not even bringing those up. Let's just focus on pure facts. Why would anybody want to lift up and praise somebody? I mean, imagine if we got up and we said, let's honor Donnie Romero in our Spanish services because he's Hispanic. He didn't even speak Spanish. And look, I would rather honor Donnie Romero than Martin Luther King because at least Donnie Romero believed the gospel. At least Donnie Romero believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I still would never do it. As foolish as that would be, how much more foolish to honor and lift up and praise somebody because of the color of their skin solely. Well, he had a good quote one time. Okay, well, take the quote and give it to somebody else. You know what? I'm not going to praise a wicked man just because he's white. I'm not going to sit here and give lip service to Billy Graham as some great person just because he's white. He's a wicked false teacher, preaching a false gospel. And you know what? I'm not going to lift up and praise and honor people based on the color of their skin. You know what? God's not a respecter of persons, and neither am I going to be. So when it comes to heroes, you know what? We shouldn't just embrace the American black culture that just says, well, this person, you know, we have to honor them. We have to give them a whole special day on the calendar because of the color of their skin. No, I'm not going to praise that person. No, I'm not going to lift up that person. And you know what? Black people need to stop praising him. How can a Christian ever support Dr. King? You're just basically spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, here's another area. How about their music? Now, look, the music, I'm not saying that music that black people sing or use is sinful inherently. But you know what? One of the most prevailing genres of music in this Americanized black culture is the hip-hop and rap community. Now, you know, there's other genres like reggae, soul, blues, things that are associated with quote-unquote African-American culture. And I'm not going to say that a style of music is inherently sinful because I don't believe that, okay? I don't think that just because you play blues music or something or you play the saxophone that makes you sinful or whatever. Okay, and just because you do a cool rap or whatever, a cool rhyme or whatever, that's not sinful either, okay? But what is sinful is the lyrics, attitudes, and behaviors of these musicians and artists who is predominantly filled in this area. Here's some of the names of some of these groups. Gangstar, Bone Thugs and Harmony, 3-6 Mafia, Rage Against the Machine, LL Cool J, you know. And LL Cool J, here's some of his song. Here's some of the song titles, okay? Illegal Search. There's so many songs about how black young men are being just victimized by the authority in our country, by police officers. Illegal Search, bro. How about this one from Ice Cube? Endangered Species. Now, these songs are so propagandistic. It's funny because I don't know how anybody could literally listen to this and not realize that they're just being just spoon-fed lies consistently. Here's how this song starts, okay? It starts with a female reporter, and she says this: at the bottom of our news tonight, there's been a new animal aimed at falling off the face of our earth. Yes, young black teenagers are reported to be the oldest and newest creatures added to the endangered species list. As of now, no efforts have been made to preserve the blacks. When asked why, a top law official adds, because they make good game. So it just starts out by saying, young black men are being hunted down by police officers. That's what it's insinuating, okay? Now I'm gonna give you some of the lyrics of the song, okay? This is how the song goes, and I'm gonna censor it, okay? Peace? Ha 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 ha. Don't make me laugh. All I hear is beep. Rapping succotash. Living large, telling me to get out of the gang. I'm a beep. Gotta live by the trigger. How the beep do you figure that I can say peace and the gunshots will cease? Every cop killer goes ignored. Yeah, ask every cop killer that question. If they've been in her. They just send another beep to the morgue. A point scored, they could give a beep about us. They'd rather catch us with guns and white powder. If I was old, they'd probably be a friend of me. Since I'm young, they consider me the enemy. They kill 10 of me to get the job correct, to serve, protect, and break a beep's neck. This is just pure, unadulterated propaganda. That's all it is. There's no reality to this. Ice Cube is not being hunted by police officers, nor any of his friends, okay? They're not being, look, whenever these celebrities get caught, the cops let them off the hook. It couldn't even be further from the truth that these young thugs, or whatever you want to call, they're not even real thugs, okay? They're fake, they're feigned. You know, and he's saying, oh, all these cops are killing 10 young black men each. And look, this is not just a one-off song. There are lists of songs just dedicated in the rap and hip-hop culture genre that are just specific about police brutality and all these kinds of things. Just constant, just forcing people to believe this ideology that cops just hate black people and they're just killing them. And specifically, I guess, young people, according to this song. How about N.W.A.? Bleep the police. That's literally the title of the song, okay? Here's what the lyrics of this are. A young beep got it bad because I'm brown and not the other color. So police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Oh, yeah. Cops are just walking around just killing people because of skin color. Okay, that's what he's saying. How about another group? Public Enemy. Title of their song, Fight the Power. Here's the lyrics of their song. Freedom of speech is freedom of death. They're literally trying to tell people that you shouldn't even have freedom of speech. Why? Because then you can preach a sermon like I'm preaching right now. Fight the power. Well, go to Romans chapter 13. Go to Romans chapter number 13. Look, if there are people hunting down black people, let's preach against them. I don't have a problem preaching against people, but what if it's lies? What if the people that are actually hunting down black people are news reporters like CNN? And the government, and all of the propaganda tools of the media, and online, and YouTube, and Facebook, censoring truth, censoring reality, trying to put forth this fake ideology, trying to encourage people to fight against authority, and to fight the power. Well, let's see you're really fighting. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. So you know what fight the power is saying? Fight God. That's what it's saying. And you know what these hip-hop and rap artists are trying to encourage people to rebel against God and to fight against God. That's what the Bible is saying is the powers of God. It says the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And look, yeah, is there a time and a place to resist an authority? Sure, if it's out of line. If there's a higher power, if there's something above them that's telling you to do something differently. You know, if God's word's telling you to preach the gospel and you got some, you know, feminazi, dyke, lesbian manager trying to tell you you're not allowed to, well, you know what? I'm going to obey the higher power. Hey, if the government says don't pray, I'm going to pray. If the government says you can't preach Leviticus 20:13, we'll preach a whole sermon on it. Hey, I'm not going to obey things that are out of line with the higher power. But you know what? That's not what the rap artists are preaching and singing and propagandizing with. They're just saying just resist to resist. They're just saying, you know, just fight the power. Just fight all power. Just resist everything. You're just your own boss. You know, and this is that gang, thug, mafia type mentality. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm a rough rider, you know. Well, look what it says in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Oh, there, you know, we keep getting attacked by the police. Well, then why do you keep resisting them? It's a vicious cycle. And of course, they want to continually tell people to resist. Why? So then that their lies will become true. Because it's not true right now. But if you know they can get enough people to believe the lie and to resist and to fight and they receive the damnation, then they point to that. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy for them. You know, the Bible says to obey them, they have the rule over you and submit yourselves. But let me ask you this question. Are police really the biggest threat facing black men and children today? I have a sad reality for you today. Not. Let me help educate you for a second on a very real threat for black men today. Drowning. Drowning is the third leading cause of unintentional injury death worldwide. Okay, there's an estimated 320,000 annual drowning deaths worldwide. In the United States, 10 deaths per day from drowning. About 1 in 5 people who die from drowning are children 14 and younger. And every child who dies from drowning, another 5 receive emergency department care for non-fatal submersion injuries. Not only this, children, males, and individuals with increased access to water are most at risk of drowning. So if you have a pool or you have some kind of body of water. When parents, so the mom and dad, have no swimming skills or competency, their children are likely to have the same problems. Okay, and this affects 78% of African-American children, 62% of Hispanic children, and 67% of Caucasian children. So if you can't swim, your kids typically can't swim, and it's hurting the children. Now listen to these statistics. I found they're legitimate statistics. African-American children ages 5 to 19 drown in swimming pools at a rate 5.5 times higher than Caucasian children in the same age. Not only that, the disparity was greatest in ages 11 through 12 years. At these ages, blacks drown in swimming pools at a rate 10 times higher than that of whites. Now, I want to compare this with another statistic. From 2017 to 2020, okay, on average, 223 black people were shot to death by police officers. Of those 223 on average, in 2019 specifically, 14 of those deaths were unarmed black men. So this is saying all ages, just people that are identified as black, 14 of those were killed as unarmed. And even though they were unarmed, majority of these involved high-speed police chases, some kind of other weapon, or some type of assault on the police officer. From 1999 to 2010, there was about 4,000 drownings, okay? And on average, 375 black children and young adults under the age of 29 died. So 375 black children or young adults under the age of 29 died every year in that period. And basically, this is the conclusion that I've come to. Water, at a minimum, is 26 times more racist than police against unarmed black men. Let me say that again. Water is at a minimum 26 times more racist than police against unarmed black men. They don't have a chance against water. The biggest culprits are swimming pools. I mean, race, it's systemic racism. Because water's everywhere. I mean, this water problem is a serious problem. I mean, if we really care about black lives, right? Because isn't Black Lives Matter? Wouldn't we want to face the biggest threats? And look, this isn't even a laughing matter. People are literally dying from drowning, unintentionally. And if you really cared about black lives, wouldn't the government start programs that teach children how to swim? Where's all the swimming programs? I mean, if we're going to really try and figure out, you know, when are they going to rap about that? Here, I got a ditty for you, all right? If you didn't vote for Biden, you ain't black. CNN and Lemon are going to call you whack. My brother's got major problems for real, but this ditty about to get me a record deal. Black children be dying all the time, so pay attention to my little rhyme. Parents need to watch their son and daughter to protect them from that racist water. My brothers keep dying without a chance, not learning to swim, but break dance. So watch out for that swimming pool. Don't pull an Abner and die like a fool. Hey, why isn't that the public service announcement? Hey, if they're going to rap about the dangers to young black men, they want to say, oh, you got to watch out for all these cops just killing young black people all the time. You know what? They're drowning in swimming pools more often. More people, more black children and young adults died by drowning unintentionally every year than all black people killed or shot to death by police, including the ones that were shooting at them, including. And you're going to tell me that it's such a systemic problem. It's just lies and race baiting and race hustling today, okay? Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Look, and let me tell you this. There is no correlation to skin color and music. Just because I'm white does not mean I have to like country music. I hate country music. Just because I'm white does not mean I have to like the Insane Clown Posse. And just because someone's black does not mean that they have to like rap or hip-hop music or all of this degeneracy that's being preached to them from Ice Cube or whatever. He's not your brother. He's a liar. He's a race hustler, a glorified whoremonger for money. And you know what? I don't care about the skin color of the music that I listen to. I don't care what skin color it was, who wrote it or sang it or any of that stuff. You say, well, why are you preaching against music? You just jealous because white guys can't rap, you know. No, let's read what the Bible says. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. You know what? You know what that's saying? Don't listen to rap music. Don't listen to the hip-hop. Don't listen to all this junk and filth and smut. And let me tell you about the top song, because I went in and just looked at the top rap song right now by Roddy Ricch. And let me tell you what, that's not his real name, because they're all fake and phony, okay? Roddy Ricch, his top song is The Box. It has like 300 plus million views on YouTube already. And it's like a recently released song. Roddy Ricch, The Box. In this song, I identified these issues. Killing police. Here's one of his lyrics, I'ma get lazy. I already did, successfully. All kinds of just swearing and explicit language. Here's another lyric, I won't never sell my soul. You already did, Roddy Ricch. Okay. He's like glorifying getting fired by getting pink slips, calling his girlfriend the most derogatory words, getting plastic surgery, covetousness, being a real gangster, especially the Crips, and drugs. And this one song, it's the top song. And you know what? Rap music glorifies killing police, killing their enemies, violence, rape, assault, drugs, fornication, adultery, covetousness, alcohol, glorifying being a criminal, just anything that's bad. It's in every rap song and every hip-hop song. I mean, you can't find a sin virtually that would not be found and the modern genre of hip-hop and rap and this stuff, and it affects people today. Go over to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. These people are race hustlers today, and they're just basically appealing to a group of people based on their skin color and trying to force them to listen to their music because of their skin color when their lyrics are the worst lyrics imaginable. And again, this is not a white and black issue, because plenty of children listen to this music that are not black. Plenty, all kinds of kids are listening to this trash and this filth and this nonsense, and it's just to try and basically force you into sin. Plant ideas into your mind. Get you to have a bad idea of the world today. And you say, oh, well, these guys, they made it. They made it to the top. No, they didn't. They are the modern day black slave masters. And let me tell you something. You know the first person to own a slave in America was black? And did you know that the people, when they brought over slaves from Africa, they were already bought and paid for by other black slave owners in Africa? And even after several hundred years of this, whenever they would flee or free black men would still own slaves at times, okay? And you know who the modern-day black slaving owners are today? The musicians, these rap artists. They're enslaving these other young black people into their culture, into their ideology, getting them to buy their album, buy their records, so they can just be glorified and lifted up, and it's sick. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. They love to talk about how they're going to liberate the black man and free the black man. No, they're not. They're putting him in shackles. They're enslaving him today. They're enslaving him to alcohol. They're enslaving him to drugs. They're enslaving him to fornication and adultery and murder and all kinds of crime and filth today. And they're trying to put them in the shackles. They don't love their brothers and sisters. They don't love other black people. No, they've been sold out to the highest bidder, Roddy Rich. These people make me sick. They hate black people. They're telling them lies, and they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, you're white. You can't say this.
I can say whatever I want. Now, I found a university student, Alexis Williams. She's a young black woman who went to Pittsburgh State University, and she had a thesis statement called Correlations Between... She might have been undergraduate, but she just basically did this abstract document that's put on their university's website. But it says, correlations between crime rates in U.S. cities and the popularity of rap and hip-hop music. So she basically tried to find areas where hip-hop and rap music were more popular and then compare the crime rates of these areas. This is what she had as the conclusion of her work. As the popularity of rap hip-hop music has grown, measured by number of hip-hop songs in the top 100 for that year, in the United States of America, we can see a correlation with higher rates of drug usage, repeat criminal offenders, single-parent homes, lower average education levels, and lower overall community incomes. She says it did not take long for hip-hop to fall into the control of the powerhouse music companies that were owned by upper white-class individuals. A few examples are Top 40 Charts and MTV. When the small local DJs lost their influence in the hip-hop culture, these large upper white-class companies started recreating what was once thought to be hip-hop in the past. Around this period, we saw artists like Ice Cube, Public Enemy, Ice-T, and N.W.A. coming out with songs that focus on attacking white racism. Now, weren't those... I didn't even realize this article was all the same artists that I picked. But she's saying that these artists are bought and paid for by white companies, white males, creating this ideology of what? Oh, there's all these white cops trying to kill these black men. You say, why would they do that? To sell records, to sell albums. Nobody actually wants to hear someone just be like, it's stupid. Nobody really cares about that. But you know what? If it's all about fight the power, you know, and racism and this struggle, then it sells. And the media can push it. And isn't it interesting that who's creating these American black cultures is actually white people? The Jewish Hollywood elite. You want to wake up. MTV, Top 40 Charts, Black Entertainment Television. You know, there's a lot of white people deciding what's going to go on that. Talk about a racist network. black entertainment. They're saying, like, if you're black, you got to watch this. What if there was white entertainment television? I don't even know what that is. I'm not interested. Okay? It's silly. And look, this is a black girl who's educated herself, realized, hey, there's a correlation between these things, and decided she doesn't want to live like that. You know what her story should be? She should be on CNN talking about these issues. She should be on the news telling everybody and warning them about these horrible problems that are going on. She says this also. She says that the change going on throughout the hip-hop community continued in all 1980s, which, like in the past, affected the African-American community and became what people thought being black was. So she's saying the rap music and the hip-hop culture has actually created what people think about, the stereotypes that exist, the pressure to be, well, you gotta, if you're gonna be black, you have to listen to Ice Cube, you have to listen to NWA, you have to, you know, have your car thumping when you go down the street or whatever. Look, there's plenty of white people doing that, and they look even dumber when they do it, okay? They look even more foolish. It says this, America was now looking at images of rappers in their videos living in low-income projects and ghettos, committing crimes, and waving around guns like it was normal thing to do. You're like, how did you describe every music video I've ever seen? Because that's just what they, it's propaganda. This in return caused the youth of these communities to believe that is what they are supposed to be doing because they saw it on TV and experienced in their everyday lives. They're creating a self-fulfilling narrative by telling people this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're supposed to look like, this is how you're supposed to act. And of course, monkey see, monkey do. Now, I want to address again, is it really true that cops are just trying to just kill black people just indiscriminately? They're hunting them down? Well, let's just ask statistics. Let's just ask facts, okay? In 2019, police shot and killed 1,003 people. Okay, so 1,003 people were shot to death by police officers. This includes just any possible scenario, you know, whether the person was armed and dangerous or not. Of those 1,003, 250 were black, okay? So about a quarter of them, 25%, which is a lot higher than their population demographic, because they're only about 14% of the population. So it's almost, not quite double, but maybe even almost double what their population would be. Of those, only 14 were unarmed. 14, okay? In 2018, so this is a similar year, police made 10 million arrests, according to the FBI. Of those 10 million arrests, 229 black men were shot. So it was a little bit less in 2018 than in 2019. Of those, 23 were unarmed, okay? Now, of the unarmed black males that were shot in an arrest, they gave you this ratio. One out of 67,000 black men arrested were shot to death while being unarmed. That's a pretty low number in my estimation. One out of every 67,000 interactions. That's a pretty low number when you think about it. That sounds like police departments are doing a somewhat decent job. And I'm not saying that there hasn't been problems. I'm not saying that police haven't shot someone illegitimately. I'm sure they have. Because you give someone a gun, and you know what? They're in a life-threatening situation. Bad things are going to happen. That's why you shouldn't resist them. That's why you shouldn't antagonize them. That's why you shouldn't just, like, reach real quick in your pocket. And look, they'll say, well, as a black man, you can't do that. Look, I'm not going to try it either. I'm not going to go around cops and be like, hey, buddy, you know, I was going to give you a Bible, you know. I'll get shot too, okay? And now there's even more women in the police force, which they're going to even be more trigger happy because they can't defend themselves physically. They're at a disadvantage, so they're just going to be ready to just pull the gun out. And you know, I've seen a lot of females just decide, I'm just going to put my finger on the trigger and just wave this thing around. They have less respect, typically, than men do for firearms. That's sexist. Well, that's my opinion, all right? Luke chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter number 1. Let me give you some more Bible here. Look, you should reject the hip-hop rap culture, period. It doesn't matter what the color skin you are. Look, it's not like I'm saying, listen to Eminem, just not Ice Cube. Reject both of them, okay? And usually the white guys are worse. They suck, okay? They're just imitators and fakes. Luke chapter number 1, look at verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, one of the greatest things about John the Baptist is he turned the heart of fathers to their children. And you say, what will be one of the goals of this sermon, Pastor Shelley? I want to turn black men's hearts to their children. And not just black, all. White, Hispanic, all men. But you know what? Unfortunately, from a demographic perspective, black men are not in the lives of their children. It's an egregious problem. As according to Wikipedia, in the 1960s, 78% of African-American families were headed by married couples. And in fact, they were the most likely demographic to have a mom and a dad in the home in the 1960s. 78%. Not only that, according to NBC News, the black community's 72% rate eclipses that of most other groups. 17% of Asians, 29% of whites, 53% of Hispanics, and 66% of Native Americans were born to unwed mothers in 2008. Now that's changed. 70% were married couples. Now 72% of children that are born in a black home are born to unwed mothers. 72% of the children born do not have a married mother. That's high. And all the other statistics are bad too, but I'm just saying this one's the highest. Black marriage in America. In 2016, only 29% of African Americans were married. Went from 78% to 29%. You say, why? Well, I already talked about the music, didn't I? About this just propaganda and trying to influence the culture, trying to get them to be a thug, trying to get them to be with as many women as they can, and not being tied down, being derogatory about women. The average is 48% of Americans are married. So even now, about half. It says half of African Americans have never been married, compared to 33% of Americans. So not only that, half of African Americans are not married. And this is talking about like adults. They looked at the marital status of African Americans 15 years or older. Only 29% are married. And that is compared to 48% of all the United States. The divorce rate, about the same. The separated rate, about the same. The widowed rate, about the same. So divorce, separation, and widow, they're all virtually the exact same across all demographics. White, men, women, USA, all of it, okay? But the never married, again, 50% for blacks and 34% for the United States. Why did that shift so dramatically? And in fact, black women were more likely to be married than white women until 1970. So from 1890, 1900, 1910, 1920, 1930, 1940, 1950, 1960, black people were more married than white people. All. Just virtually almost 100 years according to this chart, and I don't know what was beyond it. It probably was even beyond that. And then what changed? 1970. And then it skyrockets to, it looks like on the chart, almost triple. Why? Because they're being targeted. They're being targeted by CNN. They're being targeted by these hip-hop record labels. And you say, well, who's doing the targeting? Look, the white owners of these labels, my friend. And they're selling, they're finding a black person to sell out their other black, their friends and family members or whatever, just to get rich, just to get famous, just to get the drugs, just get whatever, and they become the black slave owners of today. How about abortion statistics? There has been 31 million abortions performed on minority women since 1967. 11% of the white race has been wiped out by abortion. 15% of the Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American, and Hispanics have been killed by abortion. 31% of American blacks. You want to talk about genocide? I mean, aren't they so concerned with black people? They're an endangered species because cops are hunting them down. But let's ignore the fact that they're literally killing 18 million black babies through abortion. And let me give you a statistic too. The majority of almost all abortion doctors are white. Isn't that interesting? You want to talk about white people killing black people? Let's call Planned Parenthood up and see what's going on there. There is a literal genocide happening before our eyes, and CNN and the media and all these government race hustlers today, they want to point the finger to something that doesn't even exist, to a boogeyman that is virtually non-existent. And I'm not saying that cops are perfect. I'm not saying that someone hasn't been discriminated against by police officers. I'm sure it's happened. But if you want to address the real problems of today, how about abortion? How about the family situation? You want to know why there's probably so many abortions? Well, there's not a dad there to tell his wife no. There's not a man in the house to raise the child. And so all these women are just committing horrible amounts of abortion. According to the statistics, 12.4% of the U.S. population is black, but they're responsible for 32% of abortions. Hispanics make up 14.8% of the population and responsible for 20% of the abortions. Go to Exodus chapter 21, if you would. Go to Exodus 21. I'm going to finish on some Bible verses here. I know I've given you a lot of statistics. I've given you a lot of information. I feel like it's beneficial to understand the Bible when you make direct application. And I don't care how uncomfortable the direct application makes you. You know what? The truth is the truth. And this quote-unquote American black culture, which is mostly influenced by the hip-hop and rap culture, is a horrifying genocide that's happening. It's enslaving people, and it's trying to take advantage of them, and it's killing a lot of babies. Look at Exodus 21, look at verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. The Bible says that what's in the womb is a life. It's a child. You're with child. When you conceive. You say, oh, I think it's like the third trimester. No, it was day one. It was second one. There is no, well, it finally turned into a life. It turned into life when it conceived. You're with child. And it's murder. It's murder. These rappers want to talk about murder. Why don't they make songs about all the babies that they're killing and influencing women to commit abortions? Go to Job 39. Go to Job 39. Say, why are people doing this? They're ignorant today. They're foolish. They don't have the wisdom today. They're listening to all these lies and all this propaganda, and they're being deceived, and they're being attacked, and they're being victimized. You say, this sounds like a big problem. It is a big problem. You know, and the best way to hide or cover a big problem is to point to a supposed big problem that doesn't exist. That's why they're making such a big deal about this. That's why they have to cover it up by pointing you in the wrong direction. A bait and switch. Because if they get up and they say, hey, rap music is killing the black community. Hip-hop is killing the black community. You know what that's going to do? It's going to drive sales down. You know, when you drive sales down, you drive profit down. And guess what? The love of money is the root of all evil, is what the Bible says. And these people, they don't care about black people. Why did they have slaves in the first place? Money. Why would you enslave another person? Because they were forced labor. And they would go and work in your field, and they would yield you some kind of a profit. Okay? So what do? They take black people now, and they get them in their labor camp, which is listening to their music. And they just take money off of them. And they get the government to give them welfare so then they can buy the CD and buy the album and buy the tracks. They don't care about these people. They hate these people. They're harming these people. And they're falling victim of it because they're not wise. Look at Job 39, verse 13. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth their eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, that the wild beast may break them. She's hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Why would a bird kill her own babies or be willing to allow her babies to suffer great harm? Because she just doesn't have wisdom. She's never been taught. You know what we need to do? We need to educate black people today on these problems. And not just black, white, Hispanic, every single person. We need to teach people that abortion is murder. We need to teach them that what's inside of you is a child. We need to teach them that if you're not a whore, then maybe when you get married and have a husband, you'll be less likely to murder your child. But because they have no wisdom and no understanding and no one's teaching them anything, they don't even realize their children are their own. They're hardened. They get to the point where they don't even think it's just a fetus. It's just a blastus. It's just a clump of cells. It's not that. It's a soul. It's a child. And we should educate. Go to Proverbs 14. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. You can actually become hardened against your children and actually despise them. I remember being in, and this is one of the most despicable things. I've said it before, but I'll repeat it. I got in an elevator one time, and there's a couple women there, and I was overhearing their conversation because we're in an elevator. And she's like, "Are you pregnant?" And she's like, "I hope not." She says, "That would be the worst thing that could happen to me." And I'm just thinking, like, and she was married. And I'm just thinking, like, what in the world? Because she said she'd already had a child. She said, "Me and my husband, we already had one child." And she's like, "Oh, are you going to have any more?" And she says, "No, I hope not." She says, "Are you pregnant?" She says, "No, that'd be the worst thing that could happen to me." A married woman with a child. She already knows what children are like. Think about how hardened her heart has become. Why? From the propaganda, from all the lies of the media. And you know what? I wouldn't want to be a young, single woman with a child having to try and figure out how to provide for it and protect it from all the evils of this world and raise it at the same time. That's horrible. You know what? We shouldn't glorify that lifestyle. We shouldn't lift it up and praise it. Look what the Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluggeth it down with her hands." Yeah, it's a foolish decision to destroy your children. And God's only going to give you so many. And you women that think it's so hard having all these kids, you know what? You're wise. That's what God said. You know, the foolish woman destroys her house. And they're laughing it up. They're yoking it up right now. "Oh, look at these women. They're so tied down with all these kiddos, and they're tied down with all those children. And look how hard their life is." Well, just wait. Just wait. So you become 45 and 50, and you can't even have children. And they weep and cry for the rest of their life with no one there to care about them. Proverbs 29, go to Proverbs 29. I have a few places I want to look at, and we'll finish. Say, "Why are you preaching this?" Well, you know what's going to help young black children? A mom and a dad being in the home, teaching them the love of God, teaching them God's commandments, warning them about the evils of today. But if you don't, there's a problem. Proverbs 29, look at verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You know how many children raise themselves on their own in their success story? The exception proves the rule. I don't think it happens. But even if it did happen, that would be the exception. Kids are not going to accidentally raise themselves right. Kids are not going to accidentally do that which is right. You know, it takes the rod and reproof. You know, when I look at these hip-hop artists and rap artists, you know what they make me think of? My little toddlers grown up. Because, you know, my toddlers, they'll just walk up to the brethren and just sock them, you know? I mean, they'll just hit, they destroy everything. And he said, "Why can't we have nice things?" Because of our kids. It's a mini Antifa rally just in the playroom. They don't appreciate food. They don't, you know, they lie, they steal, they cheat. Look, children need to get the foolishness knocked out of them. And when they don't, and they grow up, and now all of a sudden they have a handgun, and now they have drugs, and now they have all the other cars and all the other stuff going on, look, it gets really bad. Children need to be instructed. Go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Go back to Proverbs chapter 1. We need fathers in the home today to educate these children. And the biggest problem with these, all these crimes and all these things is not having a father in the home. In fact, they've done statistical studies on all these mass shootings. And the most common factor of all the mass shootings is not having a father in the home. Yeah. And they'll be like, "Oh, white people are shooting up." Yeah, sure, because they didn't have a dad at home. because their parents didn't teach them right and wrong, because their parents didn't love them, because their parents didn't discipline them. That's why we see so much crime and evil in our society today. Amen. Not having a father. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, Ice Cube's knocking at the door. No. NWA, no. Roddy Rich, no. Biden, CNN, no. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Come be with the Bloods, be with the Crips, be with the West Side. Verse 12, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not down the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. I can't think of a portion of scripture that can identify this gang, hip-hop, rap culture more than this. And notice who they're really victimizing. Who are they victimizing? Verse 11, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. They're not fighting the police. You know what? They victimize widows. They victimize women. How about that George Floyd guy? The hero. Let's go back to the heroes list. George Floyd is such a hero. Did you know before he died, he held up a woman who was pregnant. He stuck a gun into her pregnant belly while they took advantage of her house and stole from her. What a hero. He's fighting the enemy. Fight the power. I didn't know that pregnant, single women were the enemy. Oh, what are they doing? They're lurking privily for the innocent without cause. That's what they're really doing. A bunch of lies. It's a bunch of filth. It's a bunch of smut. Yet churches even today, and I'll get into that in the evening sermon, churches today will lift up these people. They'll praise these people. They'll support these people. What kind of sick world do we live in? Go to James chapter 2. Go to James chapter 2. This is where I will finish my sermon. See, I didn't like the sermon. Well, you're not going to like the Bible either. Sorry, go watch CNN. You'll never hear what I'm saying. The exact opposite. If you love being lied to, just turn on the television. You say, which channel? All of them. Just turn on the media. Just turn on the news station. Just listen to the radio. Just ask the government, what am I supposed to do? Pretty soon you'll have 8 masks on, and you'll be wearing a Biden shirt, and you'll be bowing down to black people, and, you know, and the ones that murder pregnant women and that rape and pillage, those are the ones that you get to bow down to. Buy their CD, buy their album, get angry. Look, our world is insane. But you know what? We should expect that. The whole world lieth in wickedness is what the Bible teaches us. They've gone mad. They crucified Jesus Christ, okay? They don't like righteousness. They don't like the truth. But we shouldn't be so afraid to confront the lies just because of how they're portraying white people. You know, I don't hate black people, and I'm not afraid to talk to black people. I'm not afraid to preach them the gospel. I'm not afraid to open my Bible. I'm not afraid to tell them they've been lied to. I'm not afraid to preach a whole sermon warning them about the evils of today. You know what? If you love people, you'll open your mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You'll open your mouth boldly to make known the law of God. You'll preach the word of God. And you know what? We shouldn't be a respecter of person today just because they're black. We shouldn't tiptoe around and be like, I'm sorry, brother, for my grandpa. The first slave-owning person was a black person owning white people. They might need to apologize to me. I'm just kidding. No one needs to apologize to anybody, okay? It's so stupid. It's so foolish. But look at James chapter 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Let me tell you another thing that happens. White people get to a point where they won't go into the poor black neighborhood and preach them the gospel or invite them to church because they don't want them to show up at church. They're respecters of persons. And you know, black people, they want to say how victimized they are. Well, we're so poor. We don't have all the economic liberties and all the privileges that, you know, other races have. Okay, well, what does the Bible say in verse 5? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? You know, having money isn't even necessarily a blessing. Hey, when you're poor, you can end up just being spiritual. And you know what? There's so many black people with so much opportunity and so much ability to get into the kingdom of God and to be rich in faith and have treasure in heaven today. But you know what? They're being race baited to worry about their economic status and to be worried about their bank account and be worried about their 401k. You know what you should be worried about is your spiritual bank account today. And you know what? The Bible says that God chose the poor, rich in faith, to do great works. You know what? I wish we had an army of young black men today to take over this country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why not? Hey, they fit the criterion better than a lot of these white people. You know, when I find an atheist, you know what a common denominator is? They're white. I almost never run into a black person that's an atheist. And you know what? We need to get them. You know, they're easier to get the gospel to. They believe in the Trinity. You know, and it's an abnormality of American culture today that's been propagated by these Jewish elites, by the government, by communists, by evil, wicked men. Yes, Martin Luther King was a communist. And today, we need to stop. We need to be colorblind. If you have respect to persons, you're not right. You know what? If you say, well, I wouldn't come to Steadfast Baptist Church if it became predominantly black. You're a racist. You're wicked. And you know what? It may never happen. I hope it happens. I have no problem with it. Hey, if we get more people in here that love the Lord, praise God. I want to be around people that love Jesus Christ, not that are going to fall for every brainwashed liberal ideology that's out there. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for our church. Thank you for all people. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in your sight. You died for every single person. Skin color has nothing to do with society. Please help us to just reject all these lies and all these false views. I pray that you would just wake people up today, that you would turn the hearts of fathers to their children, that people would realize we're assaulted with lies from the devil, and that we could be a bright and shining light today to bring people into the church of God, and that we would be a Christian culture and reject sinful cultures today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.